Good morning, everyone. I would like to continue the message I spoke last time. Not sure who still remember what the message I spoke 3 months ago is about. Even if today you may not be able to remember what has been said, I hope that message somehow has had some beneficial impact on your life. Today I'm going to continue the theme on the assurance of salvation. I need your prayer so that I can be able to speak clearly. What I want to share with you this morning, and also pray for yourself so that you can gain what God wants you to know. In recent days, I find that these days I find that whenever I need to speak, I'm very weak and I feel very inadequate. So I do need your prayer. How about we pray now? Lord, we come to you as we are. Lord, we ask you to take away all the hindrances so that we can come before you and have an open heart and open ears so that your words can be come to our hearts. We can know you. And we can know how wonderful your salvation is and how important your salvation is. How important for us to have your salvation. Lord, we commit the time to you. May the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, anoint us, every one of us, so that we can hear you and know you and know your work. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I would like to start with two questions. The first one is, are you saved? The second question is, if you are saved, do you know whether you have the assurance of salvation? This morning, Ichu came and he said, today is multimedia. Yeah, I
have something prepared for you.
In this table on the TV screen, monitor, there are two dimensions of four boxes showing whether you are saved or not, whether you have the assurance of eternal salvation or not. The top two boxes refer to people who are saved. The top left box refers to people who are saved, and they also have the assurance of eternal salvation. The top right box refers to people who are saved, but they are not sure whether they have eternal salvation. The bottom two boxes refer to people who are not saved. The bottom left box refers to people who are actually not saved, but they think that they have the assurance of salvation. The bottom right box refers to people who are saved, who are not saved, and they know that they don't have the assurance. So please think for a moment to find out the following questions. Which box, or which group of people you belong to? If you can't find a box you think suitable to you, just let me know. Is there anyone you can't find, or you have any question on this question? Which box or which group of people you belong to? I don't like to categorize people into different boxes, but sometimes these boxes can help us to think easier and clearer. We don't need to categorize for other people, but think for yourself for the moment. Which box I belong to? Now let us look at these boxes in more details to help you to think which box you belong to. The top left box. You believe in Jesus. You are saved. You have the assurance of eternal security of your salvation. And in reality, in God's eyes, you are saved. The top right boxes.
Can you point at the box? Sometimes left and right.
Oh. So, bigger.
Can't see.
Okay, just hear what I say. Okay. Just right now I talk about this. Now I talk about this. The top right box. You believe in Jesus. You are saved. However, you are doubting whether you are saved and eternally secure. But in God's eyes, you are saved. So that means doubting being saved, eternally saved, doesn't necessarily mean unsaved. They just don't have the assurance. And this one, they are not saved, and they don't have the assurance. You think you have believed in Jesus, but you are doubting whether you have assurance of salvation. But in reality, in God's eyes, you are not saved. Or you have not repented at all, and haven't believed in Jesus, of course, in God's eyes, you are not saved. For this one, you are not saved. But you think you have believed in Jesus. You think you have the assurance of salvation. But in God's eyes, you are not saved yet. You are not saved. So that means having assurance of salvation doesn't necessarily mean saved. You may have a wrong, false assurance. We have quickly gone through all four boxes. Which box is the best one to belong to? The top left box. Yes.
Yeah. A question for this one. Yeah. So does that mean that even though I believe that there is an eternal salvation in the world, but I do not believe in Jesus, I am still not saved?
Yeah. But some people, they thought they believe in Jesus. But they believe in Jesus just had knowledge. Just like James said, you say you have faith, but your faith is dead faith. It's not a true faith. It's not a living faith. It's not a genuine faith. So there are some people, they think they believe in Jesus, They had the assurance, even. But had knowledge and that faith. But for those people, they believe in Jesus. They have a genuine faith. Living faith. They have the assurance of salvation. It's such a wonderful grace of God. And we should praise God and thank Him with loud voice, raising voice. Enjoy God's saving grace. Enjoy God's justification, free from condemnation of sin. Enjoy belonging to Him. Enjoy being His child. Enjoy the eternal salvation. Enjoy the peace of eternal security. Which one is the boss you want? Apart from this one? The top right one. Although not sure whether you are saved and eternally secured, but you are saved, eternally secure in reality. Although you can't enjoy what those belong to the first box today, but at least you are saved. You have faith. You have genuine faith. But you don't have the assurance. So you don't have a very secure peace about the eternal salvation. But at least in God's eyes, you are saved. That means although you are doubting now, but you can seek God's truth for assurance. He will answer you. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29, he said, "But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find Him if you seek Him with all your heart and with all your soul." God promised that when we seek Him with all our heart and soul, we will find Him. For those people, you believe in Jesus, but you are not fully assured that you have the eternal salvation security. You can seek the Lord. You can pray to Him. Seek God with all your heart and all your soul. Which is the box you want to avoid? The bottom two boxes. Because in reality, they are not saved. They are not saved. In particular, need to be careful to be in the bottom left box. Anyone in this group can be in most dangerous situation. Because they told themselves they are fine. They are safe. And not fine. They have no deliverance from sin. But they don't have the condemnation of sin by themselves. They live in sin, but feel guiltless, so that they can continue to sin without bad feeling, without discomfort. They continue to walk in darkness and pursue the lust of the flesh, lust of the world, and the pride of life. Somehow they're insulated from the gospel talk because they think they know it all and immune by the impact of the gospel. They have no desire to seek the Lord and have no motivation to cry out to God for salvation because they think all fine. Today, they have false hope and tomorrow they go to hell in eternity. Which box? Which box or which group of people you belong to? The question is only to be answered by yourself. I won't ask you to give an answer. However, I encourage you to bear in mind your own answer as you listen to what I would like to say, so that you can find the message what we are sharing is relevant to you. God willing, I would like to share a few times on the assurance of salvation related to these four boxes. But this morning, I would like to focus in what is the gospel and how we can be truly saved. What is the gospel? Good news. Gospel means good news. In order to understand the good news, we need to see the bad news first. Man's situation and destination without the gospel. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, say that, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." I would like to ask, who has complied with all Australian law and regulations? There might be some people, I don't know. But who have not sinned and broken the laws of the Holy God? In Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to 23, he said, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things they are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful." Do you glorify him as God? Are you thankful to him? And he continues, "But became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things." Today, although we may not have physical idol worship, we can still have idols, such as money, education, careers, and other things, replacing God's place in our hearts. Paul continued in Romans, chapter 1, verse 28 to 32. Talking about sin of man. He said, "As I read, listen carefully. Ask yourself, have I complied with all God's law related to the following?" Romans chapter 1, verse 28. "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness." Have you done something unrighteous last week? Sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder. Have you harbored hatred toward another person? Apostle John said that in the Bible, whoever hates his brother is a murderer. strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are worshippers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Have you been disobedient to parents? Or disrespectful to them? Undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Have you committed the above sins? The Bible said that all are sinners before the Holy God, including you and me. God said those who practice such things deserve death. When we go through those sins, we may think, okay, I know all this, so what? If we don't have a if we only know that we are a sinner in head knowledge, that means we may not have genuine repentance. Everyone is sinners. Everyone sins, so what? But God said those who practice such things deserve death. Sin is a big thing in the eyes of the Holy God. We may not think practicing such things deserve death, because we are sinful and we are unholy. Our view doesn't count, but God's view counts. He sees sin is a big thing because He's a very holy God. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 said, "For the wages of sin is death." Wages mean return. For example, you work. Because of your labor, you receive monetary return. Right. I remember when Abraham was very young, maybe more than 10 years ago, our home washing machine broke down. We then called a tradesman coming to fix it. When the tradesman came and was fixing the washing machine, Abraham was there. In less than 15 minutes, the machine was fixed, and the tradesman left. After Abraham knew that we need to pay about $100 or more to this service, he said something like this: "I want to fix washing machine when I grow up." I understand why he said this. Because the return was very high, especially to him, in his eyes. Less than 15 minutes labor would return more than 100 bucks. Very high. The return of sin is also very high. But it's very negatively high. It costs your life. So the Bible said, the wages of sin is death. That's why man dies, including you and me. Sometime later, you and me will die because of our own sins. Not only this, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 said, "And as it is appointed for man to die once, but after this, the judgment." After man's first death, man need to face the righteous judgment of the Holy God. This judgment is the judgment recorded in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 to 16. it said. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, maybe young and old. I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. The books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Anyone not found written in the book of life refers to those who do not have eternal life because of Jesus' salvation. They have the second death, which is the eternal death in the lake of fire. That means the wages of sin is not only the first death in this life, but also the second death, which is casting into the hell with unquenchable fire in eternity. This is bad news of the sinful condition and horrible destination of man. However, because the love of the Holy God, we have the gospel. We have the good news. In John chapter 3, verse 16 to 18, he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Although we have the original sinful condition and the consequent future destination of eternal hell, Jesus came to die for our sin and give us eternal life. This is the salvation of Jesus, called the gospel, the good news. Then we ask, how to be saved? How to be with the name, has the name be written on the book of life? How to have eternal salvation? There are some wrong understandings on salvation, which lead to false assurance of salvation. Someone may think, being moral or religious, there are some visibly good people being moral and religious. They can be honest in man's standard. They can be very honest, very loving, and even grateful people. However, man's morality and religiosity can't save people. If they don't have Jesus, they can't have eternal life. They can be people showing visible honest dealings with people, but not with Jesus. They are not honest with God. They can be people loving other people, but not Jesus. They can be people showing gratefulness to other, but not thankful to Jesus or giving glory to Him. Some of these very good people rejecting Jesus might think in his heart, I am good enough and self-sufficient. I don't need Jesus. Even some sincere, good, and religious people who are interested in God and His salvation can't have eternal life unless by Jesus' salvation. For example, in the Bible, we know that Nicodemus, he's a very religious, good man. Or the young, good, rich ruler. But if they don't have Jesus' salvation, they can't have eternal life. That's why Jesus talked to Nicodemus saying, you need to be born again, have eternal life. Baptism. Some people think baptism is an assurance of salvation, but it's not. An example is that lots of people being baptized at infancy, when they were infants, are not having eternal life. If they do not trust in Jesus with his salvation. Even you have conviction and regret of your sin doesn't mean that you have the salvation. A person may acknowledge and confess his sin. He may not be saved. Judas is a person. He knows that he did something very wrong, but he's not saved. He regrets about this. He's not saved because he doesn't trust in Jesus. Verbal confession of Jesus. People have verbal confession of Jesus might not have eternal life. A very extreme example is in Mark chapter 5, verse 7. It's talk about even demons confess that Jesus is the Son of the Most High God. They confess Jesus to be the Holy One of God. You say, I confess Jesus as the Son of God. I confess Jesus to be Holy One of God. So what? Does the confession affect your life? How different is a confession with demons' confession? Some people, they say they believe in God so that they have the assurance of salvation. But we have said that. People believe in God with that faith doesn't have eternal salvation. James chapter 2, verse 19, he said, you believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Verse 20, continue, he said, but do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead. 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Even people, they have made some sincere decision or prayer to decide they believe in Jesus in the past. Might not have eternal life. Unless they have genuine faith, trusting in Jesus. They have genuine repentance. Otherwise, your belief may only be head knowledge. That faith is not genuine faith. Is my faith a dead faith or a living faith, a genuine faith? Faith of real repentance and trust in Jesus. Living faith or genuine faith will change your relationship with Jesus and change your attitude towards sin. Have your attitude towards Jesus changed? Or you, when you grow up, you have an environment all the time, a lot of time listening to gospel, and at one point you get baptized, but your attitude towards Jesus hasn't changed. Your attitude towards sin hasn't changed. In Romans chapter 10, talk about how can we be saved? How can I be saved? We are saved through believing in Jesus. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 say, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Here, confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in the heart that God has raised him from the dead. This confession with the mouth has to be a genuine confession. Otherwise, it doesn't count. So it's not just confessing with the mouth, but the confession with the mouth reflecting, expressing the real trust in the heart. Trusting Jesus, trusting his salvation, trusting him as Lord. He said, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. How can a person be saved? He trusts the Lord Jesus, Jesus as his personal Savior and personal Lord. Trusting him as my personal Savior means believing his forgiveness of my sin by his blood. If a person has Jesus to be his personal Savior, not head knowledge, his attitude towards sin changed, will be different. He will hate sin. Do you hate sin? In the past, before this person is born again, before this person has eternal life, before this person has salvation, he can appreciate sinful scheme for profits, for their own benefits, and enjoy sinful activities. But if a person has Jesus to be his personal Savior, he hates sin and will be grieved by his own sin. In the past, this person lived in sin. But now, this person tried to avoid sin, tried to walk away from sin toward God. not only because of the punishment and consequence and pain brought by sin, but more importantly, it dislikes sin, hates sin itself, because of God's holiness. In the past, sinning is okay, but now sin is not okay. You feel uncomfortable inside when you sin. It doesn't mean that you have sinless perfection, but your whole life direction is to leave sin and go towards the holy God. Also, before you are born again, before you have eternal salvation, you are quite insensitive to sin. You do sin, you dishonor your parents, you commit adultery with your eyes. You're not very, so not sensitive. But because of the genuine repentance, because you have Jesus as your personal Savior, you are sensitive to sin, desiring God's holiness. Romans said, chapter 10 say, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Not only trust Him as your personal Savior, trust Him as your personal Lord. Yes, Jesus is Lord. In the whole universe, Jesus is Lord. But is He your Lord? Romans chapter 10 say, we confess with our mouth Jesus, the Lord Jesus. Have we confessed Jesus our Lord? Reflecting our heart, trusting Him our Lord, receiving Him as our Lord, personal Lord. Not other people's Lord, but your own Lord, personal Lord. A person have eternal life. He is willing to let him, let the Lord Jesus be his personal Lord, because he know that Jesus loves him and Jesus is good. It does not mean that you have immediately full strength or full, absolute, complete, immediate submission to Jesus to do all things what Bible says. No. Or even you may not have the courage to be martyr for him just today, just one day, no. But you're willing to for him to be your personal Lord and you want to please him. This is a eternal life. If a person has eternal life, his relationship with the Lord, with Jesus, is changed. Jesus become his personal Savior. Jesus become his personal Lord. Because of the salvation, so good, he knows that Jesus is so good, so precious. His heart would be attracted to Jesus. I'm not sure which box you belong to or which group of people you belong to. But this is your own question. Are you saved? Do you have security of eternal salvation? Are your assurance based on false thinking or based on the biblical, based on the gospel? If you have not believed in Jesus yet, if you have not genuinely believed in Jesus yet, I hope that you have a strong desire that you can trust Him as your personal Savior and Lord. Have a strong desire to receive His forgiveness of sin. If you know your sin only head knowledge, I doubt you can receive His forgiveness of sin. You haven't seen what is sin. But still, because of the eternal salvation, you can ask the Lord to show you how sinful you are. How ugly is sin? How evil is sin? So that you can receive Jesus' forgiveness. You can't ask Him to forgive you something you don't know, you don't believe. You sin, so what? This attitude, how can you receive Jesus' forgiveness? You haven't seen it. You can't ask for forgiveness. But if you know, sin is not so what? Sin is bad. Because God is holy. And we ask for forgiveness. We turn away from sin. Go towards God's holiness. Ask the Lord, if you haven't truly believed in Him, and you say, I want, but I can't, you ask the Lord to show you how precious and important His forgiveness is. Ask Him to give you faith to trust Him as your personal Savior and also your personal Lord. Ask Him to change your life direction, walking towards Him. Submit your lordship to Him. Because head knowledge can't help you, can't save you. Only Jesus. No matter whether it is your first time to hear the gospel, but I do encourage you. If when we read the Bible, if the Bible's words speak to you, I encourage you to repent before Jesus and trust in Him so that you can have eternal salvation. I also encourage you, if you need, you can talk to some people. But at least, go back home to think about and pray to the Lord for what you have heard today. You may have some questions, but you can bring to the Lord. Ask Him to teach you, to show you. Or you may have some questions. You can talk to some Christians. They may be able to help you. But I do hope that. Because the eternal salvation is so precious. Having Jesus as personal Savior and personal Lord is so precious. I do hope that you have the assurance of salvation. And here. And this is the desire of God for everyone. For everyone to be saved and have the assurance of salvation. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You for Your wonderful salvation. For those we have the assurance may we enjoy and praise you for the wonderful salvation. For those who haven't been saved yet, now we ask you to help and enjoy desire in their hearts to be saved by you. We pray in Jesus' name.